buying a home? Don't panic. Just listen to the rest of this podcast. All right, everybody, welcome back to another episode of Home Inspection Authority's Straight Talk Podcast with me, John LaForme. I'm a CREA certified home inspector from Los Angeles, California. And the topics we discuss on this podcast are about buying homes, selling homes, inspecting homes. So if you're a home inspector, home buyer, real estate professional, this podcast is definitely for you. All right, everybody, I am sitting here with Stacy Franklin from Pinnacle Estate Properties in Encino. What's going on?
Good morning, John LaForme.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
You remembered my name.
I did.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
So, you know, you and I have been working on some properties together for a couple of years now.
We go way back.
Yes.
And,
you know, today I want to go over, well, first of all, I got to ask you, what's up with all these awards I keep seeing you getting? Every time I turn on like Facebook or something, I'm seeing you getting awards. Why are you getting so many awards?
Well, Pinnacle Estate Properties, where I work, I've been there for, I would say about 18 years. I don't know if the Encino office has been open that long, but I've been there since they've been open.
Wow.
And they motivate their agents by honoring them when they have over $1 million in sales a month or multiple sales per month. So every time I have multiple sales, multiple listings, or sales over $1 million, I get an award, which is great because it's good for, it's good to be able to post on my social media for my buyers and sellers or you know, family and friends to see that I actually work, that I leave the house.
I'm actually earning something.
Yeah. And so that's one of the benefits of working where I work.
That's good. That's a good model to have inside the company to promote and, you know, show people they're appreciated.
Yes.
It's very incentivizing. So yeah, I'm really a fan of that. I think that's cool. And any business owner does that because a lot of them don't.
Yeah. A lot of them don't. And I love where I work.
Yeah. Is it, you guys have a lot of realtors there, like a swarm of them or just a small amount?
I don't know how many agents we have, but I believe now we have,
how many do you know?
Wrong. I think we have 7 to 9 offices. We just opened a new one in Porter Ranch.
Oh, okay. So the one office you're in, I mean, how many people are in there?
I'm not sure, actually.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
There's a lot.
Right. Yeah, there are a lot of agents.
Yeah, Pinnacle's been around for a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's correct. So I got a lot of questions for you today.
Okay.
And this is going to be regarding sellers. Usually I'm talking about buyers. Today we're going to talk about sellers. And I'm kind of piggybacking this episode on the one I did recently with Working RE Magazine. They just did a little article on dealing with a slowing market. And that's going to affect everybody. It's going to affect you. It's going to affect me. It's going to affect appraisers. It's going to affect anybody else involved. Termite guys, all the inspectors, we're all going to get affected. So it was kind of talking about how to deal with it, you know? So this brings up the point of pre-listing inspections and the importance of them. I've been pushing pre-listing inspections for years. Most people don't move forward with that. And the past couple of years, I get it because it's been a crazy seller's market. And it's been like, nobody wants to do an inspection. They just want the house. Everybody was in a frenzy.
Right. I mean, you know, during that seller's market, when you have as many buyers that we've had with such little inventory, they're more willing to not ask for anything. So it doesn't matter what condition the property's in, whether it's a fixer, whether it's set up and ready to go, whether it needs a new roof or a new panel or you know, all the things. You know, people just wanted to get into a house.
I know. Do you have any idea why that was? To me, it's still mind-blowing. I'm thinking, like, did they have to move to this street? Was there in-laws living next door? I mean, what was the reason for the scramble? It was nuts.
It was crazy. It was crazy. I think the lack of inventory with low interest rates, with a combination of low interest rates, I think people were just like, let's take advantage of the market now. And
you nailed it with the low interest rate. That was the, I think that was the main driver behind that craziness.
I don't know if buyers were afraid that they would never get into a house. I mean, we've had this threat looming over us of interest rates rising for like 8 or 9 years.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and now we're seeing the interest rates shoot up in a way that, you know, only our parents saw, right? So, or my parents when I was growing up. But, and even me, when I bought my first house, I had a 12% interest rate. So, yeah, it was,
holy shit.
It was intense.
I didn't know it went that high. 12%.
Look, I mean,
well, did you have bad credit or something?
I was young. I had bad credit. I fixed it over time, but you know, and the interest rates were still already high.
But you got what you wanted.
I did.
You got in, you dealt with it. You're probably making good money. So it was like, okay, no worries.
Right.
Exactly. Right.
Yeah.
So now that we're at like 7% on the interest rate.
7.6.
Oh, it went that high?
Yeah.
Ooh, that was only like a week ago. It was 7%.
I mean, look, there are so many programs right now where you can buy down the interest rate for either the 30-year fixed or a temporary time frame. They have the 2-1 and the 3-1 buy down right now, where, you know, you can buy the rate down to even the 3-1 buy down that I have a lender that provides. You can buy the rate down to 3.6%, but it's temporary. So it's, you know, you have to be, if you're going to do that, you have to know the risks that you're taking, you know, because if the market changes in 3 years and you can't refi and the market does drop there, you know, you'll see a rise in foreclosures again, the market will drop.
Right. Yeah. You can't, so you
have to educate your clients.
Yeah. You can't get into a loan that you can't refinance.
Right.
That's don't sign that loan.
Yeah.
That's a bad one. That's a really bad one.
I mean, if somebody has a substantial income and it's, you know, you're working in a field that's not going to drop out from under you and you know the risks and you're educated, that's one thing. But, you know, to sell it to a client that is kind of, it doesn't really know anything about buying. Right. Which is most home buyers. Right. Yeah. I try and educate my clients as best as possible, but most of the time they only remember what's happening during the process.
Right.
And then everything just, you know, goes away. Right. Doesn't go away for us.
Right.
Goes away for them.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. But yeah, that's how it is, man. The high interest rates also come with another problem, and that is you may have qualified for 800 grand and then the rate just goes up another a week later before you find that house, and all of a sudden you're out. You can't even qualify anymore unless you go down on price.
I'm dealing with that right now with buyers, with my buyers.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's how can I word that? It's kind of like a cluster something.
We're not allowed to swear on here, are we?
We have to. Oh yeah, it's clusterfuck.
Okay, we have to remain professional.
It's a clusterfuck, folks. So hang on tight. It's going to get
anybody
crazy.
Who knows me knows that my favorite word is the F word, but I'm going to stay tame today.
use it often. You can use it as much as it falls out of your mouth. How's that sound?
Thank you.
All right. So, congrats on all your awards, by the way. I just wanted to bring that up because I'm like, I don't see too many other realtors as many awards as you get. You get rewarded a lot. That's
Thank
good.
You. I do. And I'm grateful to be able to work with people who do.
Right. And if somebody listening wants to hire you as their realtor, how would they find you?
They can find me on my website, StacyFranklinRealEstate.com.
Okay.
Or you can find me on Instagram and message me. I am at StacyFranklin_RealEstate. And that's the handle.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm not and a social media expert.
Stacy is STACEY, right?
Yes.
Okay. Because sometimes other girls spell it differently.
I know. And they spell it wrong.
Probably intentionally.
Except for my best friend.
Because their parents were smoking weed when they decided that.
Yeah, she was STACI, and so I'm okay with that.
Yeah. So have you been in this position before in a slowing market as a realtor? Have you actually experienced it in the past?
I have. I was actually licensed and working during the last crash in
2008.
Yeah, 2008.
Yep.
And that was a rough time. I was pretty new in real estate, and I was young. I didn't know anything.
Right.
I thought I knew everything. I didn't know anything. And, and I pretty much, I had a very slow career after that for, I think, a few right. years. And it took me a long time to bounce back because I didn't know much and I wasn't educated. Right. And so I've been through it and it's wasn't easy.
Right. Right. So how do you find clients? How do you find listings?
So I've been a referral based business for almost 20 years. The only marketing I do are to friends, family, and past clients. I do open houses for other people. I do open houses for myself. And that's how I obtain business. I'm also very, I make friends easy. So, you know, I go to the gym, I go out a lot and I just meet people. I don't ever try and push my business on anybody, including people who come in to open houses. I let, I allow for things to happen naturally.
That's a show of confidence on your end. That's good.
I mean,
you're not desperate.
I'm not desperate. And I also don't have the bandwidth that some other agents have to be able to do that mass marketing and have, you know, 60 clients a month. I just don't have the bandwidth for that. I like to pay special attention to the people that I'm working with. And anybody that I've worked with can tell you that, that I spend a lot of time with them. And most of the time, if I'm not overwhelmed or overloaded, they feel like they're the only one that I'm working with.
That's good. That's good. Well, that's good to hear. So yeah, like, you know, I'm the same way. I'm not a good salesman. I tell people that all the time. They'll call me, be like, well, sir, you know, your price is a little bit higher than this guy. Well, okay. And what do you want me to do with that? Well, right. You're not going to try to offer me. No. You asked me what I offer. I told you. And now you're trying to compare me to someone I don't know. So that means nothing to me. This is what I can do for you. I'm not here to offer discounts just for you asked, just because you asked.
Right.
I'm just not a good salesman. I lose probably a lot of jobs because of that, but I just don't care. That's just how I am. It's like someone else will call.
Right. And I'm about, my thing is that the chemistry and the energy has to be there and the connection right. between me and my client, because if there is no connection there and we have a lack of communication, that's when things kind of get hairy. And I don't like to work that way. I don't like to work that way because it's draining and it's hard. And so, and I don't have an assistant to take over and say, you know, and fill in when I feel like I don't want to deal with that person anymore. So I like to work in a way where I want to deal with the person no matter how hard it gets and get them to the end.
Have you ever had to kick a client loose?
I have. Yeah. I have a few times.
Too. Yeah.
And I've had clients kick me loose because that's just not there. And I'm like, good luck.
It's probably better.
Yeah. Good luck.
Yeah,
now, I am not made to work with everybody and not everybody is made to work with me. So, you know, there's an agent for everyone. And, and when you think come from a place of lack, the abundance isn't there.
Right.
So, I know that lose one, gain two. Actually, one of my friends taught me that. Lose one, gain two. I was really upset I lost a client one time and I have a really close girlfriend who works with me at Pinnacle and she said, lose one, gain two. And she was right.
We all have a problem with the same exact issue and that is called humans.
Yeah.
Humans are difficult. So
it's Boston coming out.
I go through the same thing. You know, it's like, I want to work with everybody, but you just, the connection is not there. You're on two different planes.
Yeah.
One person wants this and you're like, I don't do that. You know, so it's a constant struggle for anybody. I mean, any business, doesn't matter what business you're in. It's just the same. It's the same shit everywhere.
And real estate is hard. Working with people who are spending for most people, they're spending all of the money they have or the money that they've saved, their nest egg on this thing. And it's, you know, you get into the process, they're excited and then they get nervous and then they have the inspection and then they're scared and then they have to put the money into the bank and they have a panic attack. I mean, I deal with it every single time. And I just explained it to a client on a house that you did an inspection for me on, where the client started to kind of unravel and have a meltdown. And he said, does this happen to everybody? And I said, yes.
It's normal.
It does. You know, you're, yeah,
you're not buying a brand new house. So you need to, and you need to, set expectations. It's real important for realtors to set clear expectations with their buyers, especially depending on the year of the house. The first thing you should be, you as the realtor should to grasp on is the age of the house. When was that thing built? And then from there, you can kind of anticipate what is probably going to be found. That's why today we're going to talk about pre-listing inspections and how important they are for a lot of reasons. They're going to be more important now because the market's changing. Buyers are going to be a lot more scrutinizing. Hey, I want this fixed. I want that fixed. I want it done by a qualified electrician. I don't want a handyman doing it. They're going to start throwing orders around, which means the seller is no longer in control of the transaction because now they have a buyer who's hot to buy, but he wants all these fixes. Now I want to ask you about once a seller finds you or you happen to be introduced to him, whatever, and they decide to go with you, what is the first thing you have to do with them? Walk me through that.
So the first thing that I have to do with a seller, first of all, is to create the relationship and rapport and make sure that there's some trust there so they know how I work. I generally pull comps to see what's going on in the neighborhood, comparable sales, and take a look at their house so that I can compare the interior and exterior of their house to what I am seeing in photographs online, which photos can be deceiving. I like to take really good photos, and if it's not of a great house, most of the time the buyer will walk in and say, this looked better in the pictures. So, right. So, you know, you have to really be able to see through the shiny when you're looking at photos of comps.
Right. Real quick. I want to throw something at you that you just made me think of. When you are doing, and this goes for all realtors, you have to take good pictures of the garage.
Oh,
because us guys that are buying houses are looking at that. A lot of us are looking at that garage size. Can we put our show cars in there? You know what I mean? Can we put stuff in there? A lot of people don't do that. And I'm like, that's a really big part of a house. The house has a 2-car garage. Can we see it?
Right. And you know,
see, we're learning.
I'm learning. And 20 years in, I think I've taken a photo of maybe 3 garages.
You got to put it in there. Yeah. That's a big part of the house.
Thanks.
And some people really need their garage. And nowadays, people want to convert them to ADUs.
Right.
Another reason they need to know what they're looking at. And don't be shy about measuring the size of that garage and putting that in your listing too. Because people need to know that as well.
Can I measure it with my feet? Can I just...
Yeah, it's probably approximate. Okay. Typically, they're like 19 by 20 or something like that, 18 by 20 or something like that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, just a tip for you, because I recently just bought a house and I was always looking, where's that garage at? Is it attached? Right. Single car garage? Useless. That's like a trash can place to put your trash cans. Useless. You can't do anything with that.
But, well, congratulations.
Oh, thank you. I'm waiting for that final call.
You're going to get it today.
I get my keys.
Coming.
So that was a tip. Go ahead. Continue with what you were saying now.
I don't remember what that was.
Oh, yeah. What we're talking about was what do you have to do when you get your seller?
Oh, so we go over the comps and over pricing, right? So if we do that over the phone before I see the house, I always let them know that there could be a big price difference when it comes to what I am telling them and what they think they know, you know,
what they think they know,
right? And what I see and what my opinion is. And my opinion is just an opinion. I can't guarantee that your house is going to sell for the top, bottom, or middle price. And right. I can't guarantee that it's going to sell in 3 days or in 33 days. So, so I always let them know that up front. And then I go and see the house. And, you know, we always talk about like, did you take a look around, right? Do you take a look around and do you look for items that are broken? That's where my eyes go. My eyes go to cracks in the wall, I go to the panel and see how small and old it is. I don't know anything really about the size of a panel, but you can kind of, if the panel's this big, you know that it's a small panel. It's a small panel. Yes. So, and you can see
physical size.
You can physically see, even with the cover on it, whether it's old or whether it's newer. So, and the way it's constructed, obviously you can tell when it's a new panel, but, and I don't go under the house, but you know, I can,
why not?
I don't have a suit, John.
I'll let you borrow one.
I'm sure you would, but no, thank you.
You
rats dripping. No, thank you. That's for you.
First of all,
that's why you get paid the big bucks.
Yeah. First of all, the chance of you seeing a live rat is 1,000,000 to 1, probably. You might see a few dead ones trapped in.
No, ew. No, thank you. Thanks. Okay. I can usually. I usually can tell if there's granule loss on a roof, so I can see whether a roof is old
if
when
it's shiny from the ground and it's composition shingle, then there's a problem.
And I can see wood rot. I mean, that's where my eyes go to those things when I just go visit a friend.
Do you check water heaters?
I don't check water heaters.
Okay.
Do you want me to?
Well, I'm just trying to help you out so you can, you know, better prepare yourself for your listing. And like I said, I'm going to break that down a little bit later.
I do look at the air conditioning.
Okay. When you look at it, what are you looking at?
I'm looking for age.
Okay. What if you can't see the unit that's in the attic?
Then
someone has to tell you.
I wait.
Somebody has to tell
you. Yeah.
So instead of
I ask. Right. I ask and then I wait for
most homeowners
for you to come and take a look at it.
Most homeowners are going to give you the wrong information when you ask them how old their system is.
Yeah.
Unless the guy is really savvy to it and he takes care of his house. If it's a very clean house, chances are the owner's going to know what's going on because they obviously care about the house and they've kept it maintained. Typically that the guy in the family, the dad or the whoever it is typically going to be pretty savvy with that stuff. But if you walk into a house, it's just deferred maintenance everywhere. That means no one knows anything.
Right.
Nothing's been serviced.
When it had been serviced in, you know, 20 years prior, they always tell you that it's 5 years prior.
Yeah.
Yeah. I did it about 5 years ago.
It's always 5 years ago. How old's that roof? Yeah. There's no labels on roofs.
No.
It's a best guess, even for a pro roofer. Yeah. It's a best guess. So that's good stuff that you just mentioned there. You were looking at the house, trying to check the major systems, and then what after that? If you find something old, what do you say to your seller?
Have you done any maintenance on this item? Does it work? Are there any, let's pretend like it's a panel. Is there anything that doesn't work? Have you had anything repaired? Do you have problems with your breakers? Do you have to flip your breakers all the time?
The lights go dim when you turn the AC on.
Oh, I didn't ask that question, actually.
That's maybe a good one to ask. Yeah. On an old house, it's not a bad
flicker?
Idea.
Do you get like the seizure strobe light?
Yes. Everyone looks up at the lights going, oh shit.
Yeah.
Is it haunted? So... All right. So, what about after that? So let's say is the house like, does it look like shit on the outside? Does it look like shit on the inside? If the person's kind of a borderline hoarder, what do you tell them to do?
So
what's your best advice for listeners?
Did you see me like let out a, I am the hoarder whisperer.
The hoarder whisperer. That's quite a title.
I know. I'm trying to shift. If you're spiritual, I'm trying to shift the energy. I've been really working hard at it, but I have worked with several hoarders. They love me. They come to me. And for a long time, I actually got in there physically and helped them whenever somebody needed to purge their house of whatever it is, clean. I mean, I'll go in there and I'll clean the house before I hire a cleaner because I know how much it's going to cost to clean the house. So I'm like, I'll go up in there with my gloves and the scrubber and the everything that you need and all my bleach. And so with hoarders, my last experience, which was recently with a hoarder, I didn't help physically, which was the first time actually that I said no. And I said, we will assess the house when everything is out, because I couldn't see anything.
Sure. So I'm trying, I'm trying to picture you in a hazmat suit when you go into a hoarder's house. I hope you have one on.
See, I'm certified in,
crazy people.
and another field where I had to be around really deep, dark smells. And so I can go into a house and take a deep breath before I go in and understand that, it's not going to smell good. It's not going to feel good on my skin and in my eyes, and just relax.
Yeah.
So I stay as relaxed as possible so that I can interact with the client, because most of the time they feel shame. Mm-hmm. So you don't want to, you don't want to be the flame under that gas and blow that up in a way where they don't want you in the house. So you have to be as relaxed as possible when you're working with a client like that.
Well, you are a better person than I am, because I have been in situations where I walk through the front door, I literally get slapped in the face by the nastiest odors, and I just turn right around, go to the van, and get my respirator, and I do the entire inspection with a respirator on. I am not going to put up with that. And I got rubber gloves on. It's like, and I've actually turned down jobs in the past. I've walked in, said, I ain't touching this place. I've left. I refunded their money. I want nothing to do with this.
Yeah. Before you and I worked together, I had a house that was listed with another agent. This, I knew the seller. She wasn't happy with the agent. She said, I don't know what to do. And I said, I'll bring you a buyer. She said, it's a total fixer. I brought a buyer who was an investor, and I was working with this other inspector who you've actually, I think you've met before.
Okay.
And there were piles of cat feces that were up to his waist throughout the entire house. And it was the most, he said he was sick for like 3 days after working in that environment.
So it was the inspector like actually
total
did
hoarder,
it.
Crack house.
You're talking about the inspector.
Yeah. There's a total hoarder crack house, cat feces everywhere, no cat boxes, tons of cats. So, I mean,
you can get really sick from inhaling that. You can get really sick from inhaling that. Yeah. So I'm telling you, if you go into stuff, you need to put a respirator on.
Yeah.
It's not good. You don't want that in your system. Some nasty stuff out there. So yeah, that's an interesting story.
Yeah.
The cat lady.
She's a cat lady. She's a cracked out cat lady, but.
Okay, tip for everybody out there. Don't become a cat lady.
Become a crackhead.
And don't become a crackhead.
Yeah. Don't collect cats while on crack.
All right. So so I was talking about, you know, the interior, you know, the first impression of the interiors, first impression of the exteriors. Do you recommend they paint the trim if it's really peeling a lot? I know there's probably different circumstances on different sellers. Like some people are like, they're in bad shape. They just want someone to come take over. They're not going to do anything.
Right. So I'm going to give you two examples. The house that I have on the market right now that I put up last week, and the one that I sold before it. The one that I sold before the one that I have now, it's a complete and total fixer. She was a collector. My client was a collector.
What year was the house built? Do you know?
1956.
Okay, that's pretty standard.
She'd done it. She'd done some things. She, you know, she hydrojetted the sewer line a few times and had roots removed and, did repairs on the roof.
Hang on.
Are you losing?
We have to applaud the people that need applauding.
Right.
She actually maintained her sewer line.
But she was also a collector of sorts.
What kind of collector?
Hoarder. So,
Hoarder? Yeah.
Look at you. Now we have sounds.
I'm just a kid playing with my toys.
I can't say what she was collecting because she's also a friend and a former client from another sale. So I'm trying to be
okay. You're gonna tone that back.
Cool as possible. But it wasn't entirely her fault, actually. She had somebody living with her that's on the same page. And I think that she would be a cleaner person living alone, which we'll see. It's to be determined. I actually sold the house. But so, the house needed stuff. And so once it was empty, I went and assessed everything, and they wouldn't do anything. They wouldn't do a single thing. I literally had to have my husband go in and replace broken tile and install the smoke detectors. And
oh, he's a handyman?
He's pretty handy. He helped a friend of ours pretty much rebuild his whole house. So
nice.
We went in stuff that did stuff that didn't require a true professional.
Right.
And just to get it sold, and it still wasn't enough. It still wasn't clean enough. I mean, I spent money getting it cleaned, all the things. And so she refused to do anything. She didn't want to spend a single dime. It took, and this is when the market started to decline. This was a little over a month ago, and rates were starting to go up. And I think they were at like 5.5%, 6%, which is good now.
Right?
Those are like, great rates.
Wow.
And it took 35 days to sell after being up on the market as a coming soon for 20 days. So 50 days, on public platforms.
Things change.
Because it wasn't clean. I mean, it was clean because I went in there and I cleaned it every day, every time I was in there, but and hired somebody. But it was just not, if you slap some carpet in and threw some paint on the walls, it would have sold much quicker. Just those basics. And it didn't. So during that time, I met the seller that I have now. She came into the open house. And so she asked me to come see her place, and she was willing. She put about $35,000 into her house. Now, she didn't do a whole remodel, but she was willing to listen.
To sell it. That's a lot of money.
Right. I mean, it was a rental for a long time. So I walked in and I said, okay, you know, these are my recommendations. If you're not going to redo the roof, which she didn't want to deal with that. I'm like, okay, you're going to have to make sure you prepare to give the buyer a credit, because they're going to ask for one.
But now, but, you know the condition, yeah. Right?
But I'm like, there's very little inventory on the market, and interest rates are high. So a buyer that's actually shopping right now is looking for something that they don't have to put money into because they don't have it anymore. They have to put it into their down payment. So they don't have that money. And that cushion, most of the general family that's been saving their money to buy their first house,
right,
they don't have that extra cushion to be able to remodel or the patience to remodel an entire house.
Or the vision.
Right. And pay a 7% interest rate every month until that house is finished, on top of whatever rent they're paying. So I gave her my recommendations, which were pretty basic. Paint the outside, paint the inside, change the baseboards. If you don't want to redo the whole kitchen, do the countertops. Change some tile out in the bathrooms to make it look clean. Do the refinishing on the bathtub, change the mirrors out in the bathrooms and the lighting throughout, and call it a day. If you're willing to put that money in or pick and choose from some of those items, let's see what are the most important items and make a list and let's get some of this stuff done. She did everything for me. Wow. So,
smart.
Yeah. And, unfortunately, the rates are high, and we'll see what happens. But the house is really cute, so and it's moving.
No,
ready.
That's really good that she did all that work. I mean, that's a big chunk of change for. I mean, of course, she probably knew how much she was going to walk away with on the house, and that's probably what helped her decision along.
Right?
Maybe she was like really low on her what she owed, and she's like, you know what, I'm going to get it back anyway. So
yeah, and she, and I did. I went the extra mile for her. She's an older woman, and I went to Home Depot and picked up the tile and. I went and loaded my truck full of bark and...
Wow, check you out.
Yeah. Like, I went and picked up all the plants to,
I see a lot of realtors who are very proactive like that. Just try to help. I mean, it's only helping you in the long run. You're helping each other.
And I don't mind doing it because I don't work with 60 clients a month. I don't mind it. I like it. So it's, whatever. Agents will come to me and say, why do you spend your time doing that? And it's because I like to.
Let the truth set you free.
Right.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Right. Why aren't you out there trying to get more clients? Because I don't.
Yeah.
Because
people ask me all the time. Yeah. I get asked all the time. Hey, how come you don't have a multiple inspector firm? How come you just you? Because I'm happy.
Right.
I work at my own pace. I take the work I want to take. American dream. Right. Yeah. I mean, I'm self-employed, successful. It's like, I don't want to have a headache. I've tried having helpers before. It was very stressful. I'm not saying I won't do it in the future as I get older. Maybe I will take somebody in to, if I can't handle the work anymore when I'm 110.
Right.
I plan on working for a long time because I like to do stuff. But anyway, yeah, it's just the same all the way around. So you got to create your own happiness.
Right.
And if you're a slave to the job all the time, I mean, I remember when I started up my business, I was at it 24/7. Mm-hmm. I was getting sick all the time. I was getting heat exhaustion. I was just had massive headaches all the time. And I finally dug myself in and had a really good clientele. So I was able to slow down a little bit and not take so many jobs, and things were very steady. So I try to maintain that now.
Yeah. I have moments where I can maintain. I'm kind of like I'm an all or nothing person. So, right now I have, you know, I have three rentals, two of them with one client, which I'm running, you know, I'm trying not to run myself ragged over, right?
You're trying to get them rented?
Yeah, I'm trying to get them rented. I think I have them all rented, but, and then I have my listing. So with that, I tend to be working from the moment I open my eyes until the moment I shut them, because rentals are so, they're pretty hectic.
Yeah.
You have to be really responsive. So, so I actually just got over being sick.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I was working for 40 days in a row.
Oh, yeah.
And then I'll take, you know, I'll take a couple weeks and let the other business flow in, or I'll work on the listing that I have for sale, which, yeah, you know, when you have a listing and it's up, you're not working every day.
Right, right. All right, Stacy. So let me ask you this. When you're about to list the property, you've met your, obviously got your client set up. You got someone who wants to sell. You've gone through all your steps. You've recommended they clean up the inside. You recommended they get rid of the cats, whatever it is. You recommend all these things. what do you focus on when you're typing in? You're the one that creates the listing, right? With all the information. So tell me what you put in that listing text-wise and why.
So no matter what kind of listing I get, whether it's a fixer or whether it's a remodeled house, I focus on the neighborhood and what the best parts of the neighborhood are first. So is it on a tree-lined street? Is it a quiet neighborhood? Are the neighbors amazing? I start there, and then I go into the house, the square footage of the house. I don't really list the square footage, but I label what the size present. Is it open concept? Does it bring in a lot of light? Does the energy flow in a way that you feel like you can move around? What are the best parts of the house? And then I go into the remodeling portion. If it's remodeled, what kind of countertops and floors and appliances there are. I don't go too deep on that, because you can just say that they're new unless they're brand name without going crazy, I feel like. Mm-hmm. Because most people, well, actually there are some people that read through every word of the description but most people don't. They kind of skim through it and they go, oh, okay, it looks new. Then they look at the pictures. So
that's because it's like a big paragraph, like this tall.
Right.
And that's nonsense. I don't understand why it's the like Redfin's platform. It's like a big block of text. I'm like, who the hell is going to read that?
I'm not.
I'm trying to go through it going, man, this is shit. There's no breaks in the sentence.
Nothing. Let me tell you, when somebody on any platform, whether it's real estate, Instagram, Facebook, friends, if the text is more than this, I skip it.
Yeah.
Maybe it might be my ADD, but
we all have that.
I have some severe ADD, so I have to really focus when I'm working. But so I just want to know, what are the meat and potatoes there?
Right.
You know, what's this house about? Okay, I'm going to go and see it. So don't be, you know, I try and be as clean and professional and articulate as possible, because there are descriptions that I read where I'm like, who wrote this?
Right.
And why?
Now, do you feel that your listing is accurate?
I do. I make sure that if I don't make it sound bigger and better than it is, but I also don't, if it's not a great listing, I also don't make it sound like a piece of shit.
All right. So now I'm going to push. now I'm going to push back on you a little bit.
Okay.
And there's a reason why I asked you that. So
okay.
I'm not trying to set you up. I'm just
I'll take all of your, you know, you've
so
given me constructive criticism the whole time I've known you.
Yeah. if you have not personally looked at the furnace because it's in the attic, mm-hmm. if you were unable to access the water heater, if you were, if you don't know what the, what type of plumbing's in the house, if you don't know those key things, then your description can't be accurate unless you're just completely leaving those out of your listing. So I'm saying this because it goes to pointing the benefits of a pre-listing inspection. So if you have somebody who knows what they're looking for, come through that house and point out, hey, look, you know what? Your furnace is only 10 years old. That's great news. It's way better than saying it's 30 years old.
Right.
Okay. So if you knew that, that could go in your listing. Furnace, approximately 10 years old. Air conditioner, approximately 7 years old. So that's letting them know, hey, you know what? It's not an antique system. The water heater, is it tankless? Is it a, or just a conventional tank? It doesn't matter which one's which, but some people really get excited when they hear a tankless. So if there's a tankless, I'd recommend you put that in your listing.
Right.
Some people get very excited about that.
I do. So if the systems are newer, I definitely put that in the listing. If the systems are older,
My point is, if you don't know.
If I don't know, I usually ask. And if they don't know, then I don't know. Some clients are not willing to do, no matter how hard you impress on them that they should do a pre-listing inspection. They don't want to spend the money.
I get it.
This cat lady was not going to spend.
She needed Ace Ventura, the pet detective over there. That's what she needed.
She really needed to just stop smoking crack. That's a great start. And she did eventually. She actually did. She's clean now. and we're friends.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, it's been many years. But during that time, it was very exciting. And there was a lot going on. And so this woman that I'm working with now that did all of the work to the property, she actually had the property listed in the condition that it was in prior to meeting me. She had a pre-listing inspection with a listing agent that she was working with before me. And so she was able to give me that report. She handed me the report. I skimmed through it and I was like, okay, these are the things that we need to deal with.
Right.
And so I said, and if you don't deal with him, you're going to deal with him later. So another inspector is going to come in here, call out the same stuff. Right. And so this is approximately the cost. I've worked with so many vendors with buyers and in other capacities with sellers. It's like that I know the basic costs for certain things. And if I don't know the answers, then I can call my vendors and say, hey, what do you think this will cost? So, I can kind of give like a window of what the cost would be for these things to be repaired. And usually buyers will pad their, if they know their vendors, they'll ask them to pad the cost estimate, depending on the buyer. And so I'm like, this is what you could expect. You can expect for them to come back and say, hey, give me 10 grand.
Right.
So, or 20 grand or whatever the cost is. And so these are things we should fix so that they're not outstanding and we can either negotiate on whatever else they're going to ask for or tell them no, they can deal with it themselves.
Right. So when you are, I'm going to go back a little bit. When you are actually preparing the house for sale, do you check the air filter for the HVAC?
I don't always check it. It depends on the client, but I do ask if it's changed first and foremost, because if I'm going to be sitting open houses, I want the air to be as clean as possible because I get really sick from allergies.
Right.
So it's kind of a
self-centered tip for you on an older house. This will give you a tip on an older house. Look for it yourself. Sometimes homeowners have more than one.
Ew.
And they shouldn't have more than one.
Oh, no.
It's just a basic, it's one split system. It should only have one filter. And then because when a guy like me shows up with the buyer, I'm like, hey, I found two filters in this thing. They're both filled with cat hair because we're on the topic. that's disgusting.
Hasn't been changed in that, 20 years?
Yes.
Doesn't even make this brand anymore?
Right, exactly. I've actually had, I pulled filters and it was labeled 5 years ago.
No.
No shit.
Oh my God.
And multiple air filters are completely clogged. So we have to deliver that news. By the way, the filters are completely clogged and that means no one has serviced this system in the past 5 years. Because if an HVAC guy showed up to do that and didn't pull those filters, he should be fired. Anyway, I'm just saying, little tip for you, check those yourself just to make sure they're good, because more times than not, I show up, everyone thinks everything's perfect, and the first thing I find, before I turn the system on, I always check the filter. Because I want to know that it's going to work
right.
And give me the most accurate temperatures. It's not going to give me accurate temperatures with a filthy filter.
I'm going to go home and change my filter.
Yes, everybody.
Well, we do, but...
every 3 months, guys. Yeah. Boys and girls, everybody listening, if you haven't changed your filter within 3 months, go change it now. If you got cats... Dogs,
no,
change it every 2 months.
I do have a dog.
Right. If you have one of those really thick media filters, they're like 4 inches thick, those are typically good for about six months to a year.
I think we have the kind that the high-end one that you can hose out. Super expensive.
I'll get rid of that thing. Just go buy some cheap ones.
Okay.
Don't waste your money.
All right.
It's just a marketing thing.
Is it?
Yeah, it's all marketing. Do you know that the air filter is to help you breathe better?
Yes.
That's for that. No, I'm joking with you. That's not what it is.
No? No. Is it to filter? It's to filter out all of the... No. What does it do?
The air filter on your HVAC system is to keep the system clean.
Oh.
It has nothing to do with your breathability.
Oh. Such a letdown.
Most people think that. That's why I brought it up.
Well, thank you.
Most people think that.
Why haven't you shared this with me in the past? You're saving it up for this time?
Well, I just thought you knew.
Thanks, John. Don't assume.
Don't ever assume.
Don't assume.
All right, so talked about that. So if you had to do, let's say you had, in 6 months' time, you had... I don't know, 8 or 10 sellers listings. How many of those owners knew nothing about their house and how many did?
I would say that if I had, let's say I had 10 sellers, 2 of them would not know. Most people know what they've done to their property. It's the 2 that had never been homeowners in the past are so busy that they're never home. Usually single people that just don't pay attention. They're used to being renters
and
other people handling their stuff. I've had sellers that are like, oh, I've never changed the filter, you know?
And they're
kind of like, they go about their happy, merry lives and don't understand that there's a whole... You know, you need to put that list together of how to maintain your property. I'm so anal retentive about taking care of my house, you know, as I'm sure you will be.
I already am.
I have a termite inspection every year. Yeah. I make sure and I'm always looking around to see if there's any dry rot around the eaves. I'm, you know, changing the filter.
Like, it's because you look at it every day.
You know, if there's a leak, I handle it.
Yep.
So if my water bill goes up in any way, I make sure and check the property to see if there are any leaks. I'm all over it. So like, but not everybody's like that because they're not in our business or they're just not as savvy and aware.
We're all different. You know? We all have different, you know, priorities in our life. And they never taught us how to change a filter in school.
Right.
I really think that schools really should have a section on how to take care of a home, because we know your parents don't know how.
Oh, dude, they took wood shop out of schools.
Did they really?
Yeah.
I was in wood shop years ago.
They don't have wood shop anymore. Not where we go. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That was a lot of fun.
Yeah. They do have good music classes.
I'm sure they have
some
home
really
economics where you can bake a cake. They get rid of that too?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Not where we go. Yeah.
So what do they have?
I mean, they have now they have actually really cool music classes where it's not band, where you can create music and electronic music and learn how to use the computer and do music editing and
the birth of DJs.
It's pretty cool, actually. I went to back to school night and I sat down in the class and I'm like, I got cheated. It's so unfair.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
So,
wow.
So they do have some cool stuff that they've supplemented, but they did take out all the basics, like how to,
do they have
how to wash your dishes?
Do they have TikTok classes in school?
they actually have graphic design classes where they teach you how to make videos for TikTok.
No way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Geez, I wonder who's sponsoring that.
Right.
Wow, I never thought I'd hear that. That's crazy. All right, so here's a good one. So what do you do if you think you've checked everything in the house, you've done your, to the best of your knowledge, you've noted everything in the house, what's been disclosed to you and so forth, and then I show up and you don't know me, and I'm just a buyer's home inspector, and I say, oh, by the way, yeah, you get knob and tube wiring in the house that you weren't aware of because you don't know where to look. You didn't go in the attic. You didn't go in the crawl space. Maybe you just don't have enough experience to know what that looks like. That can happen too.
Right.
Depends on your level of experience as a realtor. You're not going to know these things, but it's good to learn. Hopefully you learn from the one that you just tripped over and, oh shit, we have knob and tube wiring. That's enough to scare anybody away.
Yeah, we've never had that together. So now just learning what that is.
And that's typically in a much older building, early 1900s, stuff like that.
Okay.
So, and then there's, so I'm just now telling you that. So how do you deal with it? What do you tell your seller? An example that like you just didn't know about something.
Well, I mean, I always prepare the seller. First of all, even if we do work, I tell them up front that, I've worked with brand new construction homes, right?
Right.
Okay. I've worked with homes that were built in the 1800s.
Nice.
So, you're going to find problems in every single house. I don't care how new the house is, mm-hmm. You're going to have problems. And so whether those problems are easy to fix or whether they're severe, your report is still, it's not going to be 5 pages. It'll never be 5 pages.
Never.
Never. So I always
hang on. I think I know an inspection company that does give you 5 pages and they only charge $199.
Wow. Well, get what you pay for, So I always say it's going to be, it's never pretty because there are photos of the broken things and it's photos of the system. Photos of the systems are not pretty, even if they're in working condition. So your report is always going to be a shock. It's going to be ugly. There's going to be a lot of writing. There are going to be things in red. And so you just have to mentally prepare yourself that we're going to go through items and we can go through them together. And I'll go through the report before I get to my client and say, these are the most important items. And then I'll show them the report and then they can go through it and have their panic attack. But
I always say, don't panic.
Right. I always say, don't panic too, but nobody ever listens. So unless they don't take care of their house, then they don't care what they see. So they're like, oh, just handle it. I always prepare them that there's going to be stuff. So no matter how much we fix, there are going to be items on the report and they'll be addressed by the buyer no matter what, unless we're in that market that we were just in that we're now out of.
Right.
So.
All right. So what tips do you have for any potential sellers right now with this changing market, how to better prepare before you even show up? Anybody listening right now, in case they're thinking about selling, what would you suggest they do to their house prior to getting a realtor involved? I mean, just go through it. I mean, clean it.
So prior to interviewing agents and having them show up at your house, we're all different. Get your house cleaned. Clean it so that we can see behind the items, all of your knickknacks and your tchotchkes and the box that's covering the outlets and clean the house, get all of the clutter out of the way so we can see. And some agents are more detail oriented than others. So some will walk by that giant crack in the ceiling that doesn't look like, that could possibly look like shifting of some sort, or cracks in the foundation that you can visibly see when you're outside. Some people will walk past those. Some people who are detail oriented might walk past those things.
Sure.
But we should be able to see them. They should be exposed. So anything that you know, could be a problem, just make sure you make a note of it. Talk about it with the agent.
Right.
Talk about these things. Tell them what's new. Tell them what isn't new.
And paperwork really helps.
Yeah.
If you have a paper trail of the repair you did, by all means, keep those things and give it to the realtor when they come in so they can actually have proof that what you're saying is not a bunch of BS.
Right. And remember, at the end of the day, you know, sure, it's all about your money, right? But you have to go to the process to get your money.
Right.
So.
And it is a process.
It's, you know, a lot of people say that we get paid too much for what we do. And sometimes we do. Sometimes the job is easy. But 90% of the time, the job is hard.
Right.
And we are here to absorb the stress when we have inspections and everybody's, you know, we have to keep everybody from being contentious and stressed out and stay relaxed during the process. So just, you know, when you go to choose somebody, make sure that they're that person that communicates with you and keeps you as relaxed as possible with being able to get things done and get you to the finish line in a professional and clean way, where you feel comfortable the whole time knowing that you can trust your money with that person.
Sure. Okay. So now I want to give my opinion on the benefits of pre-listing inspections.
Okay.
For everyone to hear. So, in your opinion, what do you think the number one priority for a home inspector is?
Priority?
What's our main priority for a home inspector when we show up?
To find everything that's wrong.
Close. Close.
You're there to find everything that's broken, dude. Find it all.
Actually, safety hazards.
Okay.
That's our main thing.
That should have been my first answer, but it wasn't.
And that could, that, no, you had a good answer. So what I mean by safety issues are there steps up walking up to the house that are damaged? Is it missing handrails? Did somebody put indoor tile on the outside so when it gets wet, it's all slippery?
Oh, so you can break your neck?
Yeah.
I've done that.
So safety issues, you know, is there exposed wiring on the property? A lot of times it'd be like a junction box coming out of the dirt. And this box is wide open. You put a sniffer on it. It's live. You know, those are things that you don't want the buyer's inspector to find. You want to go around the property and look like, that doesn't look safe. So let's get that fixed. Can I trip over that? Is there a trip hazard? Is the walkway higher on this side than the other side? Can somebody trip? I mean, I've gone through houses and literally find 10 safety hazards, like just on the outside. And I have to note all that. So that starts to stack up on a report, and it can be a little overwhelming.
Is there a Zinsco panel with melting breakers?
Yeah, we're going to get to that. You mentioned you have a story for me. We're going to get to that. So, you know, going in the crawl space in the attic is typically where safety issues exist. Disconnected exhaust vent pipes in the crawl space, if it's a really old house with a floor furnace, or even a newer home that might have a system installed in the crawl space or a basement, leaking exhaust from the furnace, possible carbon monoxide getting into the house. Mm-hmm. Those are safety issues. Up in an attic, disconnected exhaust vent pipes, could be from the water heater, could be from the furnace once again. So the main thing we're looking for are safety hazards. So that in itself is all red in a report. Everything's labeled as red because it's could cause personal injury or worse, you know, death, you know, something like that. So that is the main job of a home inspector. finding a loose thing in the house, or, you know, poor siding installation, that's nothing. That's just something that can be fixed. But letting the customers know how old their major systems are, that's the most important thing.
Right.
So it's kind of like a two-way street there when it comes to, well, a furnace and an AC typically have a life expectancy 15, 20 years for it to be efficient. Now, it could still be working. I see them all the time. They're 30 years old and they're cranking, you know. They sound good. They're not noisy. They're still quiet. And they're pushing good airflow, good heat flow throughout the house, and everything seems to be balanced good. It's like, great. But it doesn't take away from the fact that it could expire at any time because of the age. So it's a really hard situation to be in as a home inspector talking to a realtor or the potential buyers or how to describe that. Well, first thing I start with is everything is working. However, the entire HVAC system has reached the end of its serviceable life. Bingo, everyone starts freaking out.
Right.
It's like ding, 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 ding.
Everybody freaks out.
Everyone freaks out.
Yeah.
So I wish that didn't happen.
I know.
There's really no need to freak out. I just told you everything's working. Did you not know you're buying a used house? An old house?
Right.
Did you not know the house was built in 1950? That's what I start thinking. I'm like, why you got that look on your face? So I didn't panic anybody. Right. I just let them know the facts. I didn't yell it. I deliver it in the same monotone voice I always do. By the way, it is at the end of its life expectancy. Okay, John, so what's a typical life expectancy? And I tell them, you know, 15, 20 years typically. And then the listing agent. But you said it's working. Yes, ma'am. I made that abundantly clear. And that was the first words out of my mouth.
Usually it's the listing agent. And then the buyer's agent is trying to buffer the stress between the listing agent and now the buyer.
Right.
Everybody's present. And then you have the seller, if they're present, going, it works, but it works.
Yeah. Well, the roof's not leaking right now. I'm like, because it ain't raining.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The roof's damaged. Yeah, but there's no evidence of leaks. Listing agents, please don't say that to your inspector.
Yeah.
There's no one needs to hear you say that.
Right.
I know it's a defensive reaction. I get it.
Yeah.
But it's not a debate. We're not there to debate the condition of the house with you. We're there to tell you this is the age, this is the condition, and that is it.
Yeah.
And we're not there for debate.
I have to
shut people down.
You've taught me everything you know, and I listen.
Good.
So when I see another inspector and they come in and they're, depending on whatever their energy is, I go, oh, you're here to tell me what's up. It's all good.
That's it.
I can't change it, you know, not today. I mean, I could change it today if I hired somebody, but you know, it is what it is.
Here's something that came up a couple of days ago on a house. It was an old roof. It was multiple layers, but the top layer was holding up fairly well. I mean, there wasn't a bunch of granule loss. It wasn't falling apart. There wasn't loose shingles everywhere. So I tell my customers and their realtor, I said, you know, the roof's older, but it's not in bad shape. The small sections of the roof, the flat roof areas, those need to be replaced. And then she asked me, the realtor asked me, so what's the age of the roof? So I want to clear this up on the podcast right now, okay? Nobody can pinpoint the age of a roof by looking at it. They don't come with labels. So stop asking home inspectors. It's a very repetitive question. If it comes out of my buyer's mouth, I expect it and I'm okay with it. I'm not okay with it when a realtor asks me that question because it's unnecessary.
So I usually ask.
They should know this by now.
Right. Usually if I ask anything about the roof, it's how long do you think we have left?
Sure.
You know, how long do you think we have left?
Right, which brings another question.
Because I mean, it could be weather related. Yeah. It could be rain related. I mean, who knows what kind of weather you've been working in or, you know, whether it's heat related. I mean, whether it's construction related. How long do we have left, dude? Tell me.
So what's more important? That's the big question. What's more important? The age of the roof or the condition of the roof?
Right.
Why is no one else catching on to that? I don't get it. I just literally scratch my head every day when a realtor says that to me.
Because well, everybody's brain works differently.
Well, one, no one really knows the age unless you have a permit invoice. Right. You have paperwork, a paper trail, a way to prove when it was installed. Oh, it's 20 years. Oh, it's done. It's not done. This is really happening right now. I just bought a house within the past 24 hours. The roof is 20 years old. The roof is in great condition. There's no granulos on it. There's no broken shingles. They're not brittle and falling apart. It's fine. I have no problem with the roof on that house being 20 years old. It doesn't matter how old the roof is. It matters the condition of the roof, which is going to tell you a few things. Well, it was installed correctly, probably by someone who knew what they were doing. Mm-hmm. It's got decent ventilation through the attic. It's just holding up. Some roofs do not perform well because of the installation.
Right.
And they tend to fail quick. Like houses with multiple layers tend to cook a lot faster than because there's just no way for them to vent properly because of the multiple layers.
Right.
So there's a lot of...
That's good information, actually.
There's a lot of things to consider. So really focus on the condition of the roof, not the age of the roof. It seems to be, I think it's backwards. And it just, at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter. Oh my God, it's 19 and a half years old. You want to celebrate its birthday? It's tomorrow.
Right.
So who gives a shit? What's the condition? Is it holding up? Is it repelling water like it's supposed to? That's the only thing.
Mine is like, yeah. How long will it last before I have to replace it? You know?
Right.
The plumbing's whatever. It's galvanized plumbing. There's the fittings are not the proper fittings. Is it functional? And how long do I have before I have to replace it?
Right.
How long does the client have before they have to replace it?
Right. So the importance of having a pre-listing inspection, that's just my opinion. And I know a lot of other people who agree with that. A lot of people don't. I get it. That's fine. But what's happening is if you don't know anything about the house and the seller doesn't know anything about the house and you're just listing it, and that happens a lot.
Mm-hmm.
People know nothing about this house. And I'm just like shocked. Like I'm looking at the buyer's realtor going, you didn't know that? How did you not know that? Your job is to know what they're about to buy.
Right.
Am I wrong?
I mean, you mean the seller's realtor, you said the buyer's realtor.
No, the buyer's realtor.
Oh, the buyer's realtor. Okay. Yeah. So, you know, I used you on an inspection that on a property that we pulled out of. Looked clean. I always now from this experience suggest you open up all the closets, including the water heater closet. Do you remember when we worked with, it was one of my hoarders, actually, it was one of my hoarders. We were up in Westlake Village at a condo.
Oh, yes.
And it was super clean and super pretty and didn't smell like mold. I can smell the moisture when I walk in.
I forgot about that one.
And you took a video though, and you shared it on your YouTube.
Yep.
The first thing you did was open up the AC, the HVAC closet.
Yeah. The furnace closet.
And it was covered in mold, floor to ceiling, wall to wall. All underneath, it was like
right in front of you.
I was like, oh my God. she was like, this client already had issues with mold. She's had issues with mold in literally everywhere she's ever lived. And that's like, she's like, will you please check for mold? And I'm like, it's going to be fine. Don't ever tell them it's going to be fine.
Ever.
And never deter anybody from getting a mold inspection. If that's what they want, you give it to them.
Right.
Especially if you smell moisture in the house.
That's good advice for other realtors.
Yeah.
Yes. Definitely don't ignore
that. That was the one transaction I did. Because prior to that, I think I had one other client ask me if they thought they should get a mold inspection. And I said, it's up to you. And now I'm like, you should get a mold inspection every time.
Yeah. If there's any question about a mold from a customer, get it done. Just put them at ease. Otherwise, they're going to dwell on it for the whole transaction.
I'm like the live and learn person, but that was a big learn.
Yes. And by the way,
a lot of mold.
I'm going to put that link to that video in the podcast description. And on the YouTube version, I'll also put a link there so you can watch that, because that really happened.
So open up those closets.
So let me explain. Let me explain that to everybody how that happened. So typically what I normally do, as I mentioned earlier, when I go into a house, before I turn on the heating and cooling, I always check the filters. And this had a vertical furnace in a closet with the return right below it, which is a typical scenario on like a condo or a townhome or something like that. And bam, I open the door and there's just black all over the place. And then I pulled the covers off the furnace, looked inside the plenum area, and right the right side of that plenum wall was the kitchen sink. So just on the other side of that wall was the kitchen sink. So, you know, it was just a small unit. And it turns out, if I remember correctly, it was the condensate line that was leaking into the wall. It went into the wall. So you really had to look for it, but there was mold everywhere.
Yeah.
So
you had to demo the kitchen.
Yeah. Did you get a quote on that? I remember you told me it was pretty expensive, like 30 grand or something to fix it. They had to pull all the walls out.
You know, we had two different people come out and they gave us disparagingly, there was a huge gap between, I had like the cheap guy and I had the expensive guy,
the scammer and the non-scammer. Right. Yeah.
And, it was like the one of them was like a $6,000 estimate. The other one was like a $25,000 plus that. And you had to remove the entire kitchen and walls and drywall and do everything and a portion of the floors.
And I believe
this adorable little place was like probably the reason that the person who lived there before it passed away in the house. They were older and they'd been there for many years and got sick. And I mean, who knows? I mean, they could have died from something else, but like, I'm sure it didn't help.
Not at all. No,
it was black mold.
Even if you have a respiratory problem. Yeah. I'm pretty sure the ear samples I took also came back positive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was like the worst kind of mold you could have.
Stachybotrys. Stachybotrys.
Yeah.
Stachybotrys right there. So yeah, good. I'm glad you brought that up because I totally forgot.
Yeah.
That was a long time ago.
I remember stuff.
I just want to add a few more things to, you know, stay on point here with, you know, pre-listing inspections, because I really pushed that hard. We already talked about the safety hazards, you know, water pressure is another thing that you are not going to know about. And more times than not, it's out of control in the house.
Right.
And that can be why faucets are running, toilets are running, faucets are dripping.
And let me give you an example.
Sprinkler heads are broke.
Of a water pressure regulator being out.
Okay.
In my house. My water pressure regulator for my irrigation system went out and I had a huge flood. This was like 4 months ago. We couldn't get it under control. It was like thousands of dollars to try and find where the leaks were, to finally get them capped off and repaired and all of the things. And then when my plumber looked at the other regulator, he said, you know, this is the same age as the other regulator. Do you want to leave it? It's functional. I'm all, no. No, replace it. Yeah. I mean, because...
Well, you're lucky you had a regulator on your irrigation. Right. Most houses don't.
No, we did. And it was old. So I'm like, I don't want the same thing to happen inside my house as it did outside. So that was an awakening for me when... Because I never digested the information when being told multiple times that a pressure regulator is old or not working properly, what the repercussions could be. And I was
water
able to
leaks.
See it in my own house and spend my own money. And it was rough. It was a rough experience.
Yeah. I suggest anybody that owns a house, check the pressure once a year.
Yeah.
Just go buy a $20, $15 gauge at Home Depot, take off your hose, connect the gauge, turn it on. And if it's past 75, replace your regulator. That's it. And I will put a link to a recent episode with Robert Dell Plumbing. We broke down water pressure and the importance of it in detail. A great video. You'll learn a lot from that. I'll send you a link to it. If you haven't watched it yet. Have you watched it
yet? No, I haven't watched it yet.
Shame on you.
No. I've been watching a lot of TikTok videos.
Yep.
On how to make potatoes. Yeah.
So outdated electrical system. Nothing wrong with having an outdated electrical system. But there's a couple brands out there that you want to definitely know is on the house if you're selling it. So you can disclose it up front so there's no shock and awe when the buyer's inspector tells you you have a Zinsco brand. Worse than that is a Federal Pacific stab lock. Those are the worst. There's also another brand called Bulldog Pushmatic. So
I've never heard of these brands. I've heard of the Zinsco and yeah, Stablock. You know that I have a story for you with that. So yeah. When you're ready for it, I
will. Yes, we're going to get into that shortly. you know, outdated windows and doors. Anything with single pane glass is a thing of the past. It's just an upgrade. You know, no need to panic over that. It's just the house, the owners never upgraded the windows. If you are running a central and cooling system, great idea to upgrade your windows to at least double pane. Some people like triple pane if they got the money to afford it. It's more expensive. A worn out roof. Yeah, you want to know that before you list the house.
Yeah.
You really do. Because that tells you the condition of the roof.
Right.
Not the age. It may indicate that it's a 30-year-old roof and it's just completely fallen apart. But well, once again, just the condition of the roof is what's important. Is there multiple layers? People want to know that. So you want to disclose that. As a seller, you want to disclose that. So there's no surprise.
Right.
And then it makes your transaction go smoother.
The one that I have right now, there are two layers of roofing and it needs to be replaced. It's an older roof. You can see the granule. Yeah.
Yeah.
So she chose where she wanted to put her money in. And I was like, okay, you know, yeah. We do need it to look presentable.
And when talking to everybody about the responses from a potential buyer, when they find out it's a new roof, they're very excited.
Mm-hmm.
Very excited. Oh, it's got a new roof? I'm like, yeah, it looks like it just got put on. And by the way, the installer did a fantastic job. That's what I want to tell everybody, but that's very rare I say that.
Right.
Most roofing jobs.
I love when you say that to me.
Yeah.
I love it.
And I emphasize
when you give me good news,
over
I'm like, give
and over good news. And over again. When there's a really good roofing system installed, a really good HVAC, I make it a point to say, whoever installed it did a fantastic job on it. I push that so they know, oh, wow, this thing was installed, it's new, and it was installed correctly, and it's working great. Bam. Now they're really excited. Electrical panels, when I tell them it's got an outdated panel, anything electrical you got to remember is a potential fire hazard.
Right.
I'm sorry, safety hazard, not a fire, not always a fire, but safety.
I always think fire, though.
Okay, that's fine.
I do.
But anything electrical can scare most people.
Of course, because you think fire.
Yeah. So that's a big one.
Yeah.
That's a big one. So for sellers, disclose what kind of panel you have. Have somebody that knows what to look for take a look at it. Either get a home inspector or get an electrician to come by and look if you happen to know one. Hey, what's the brand? Is it a GE? Is it a Stabil? GE's okay. You know, those are good ones, but is it a today's type conventional breaker? It's not a thing of the past, a really old obsolete. What I call them is functionally obsolete. They're because they're still working.
Right.
Doesn't mean they won't have problems. And sometimes when I look in those old Zinsco panels, I see that a bunch of those breakers have been replaced already.
Mm-hmm.
That's because they've been having problems.
Right.
That's how it goes. So, yeah. So anyway,
yeah.
Those are the ones that scare buyers. These are the point. I'm just trying to point out what scares buyers.
Right.
If it's an old system. And foundations, let's clear the air on foundations right now. Most homes are going to have what's called a hairline crack in a foundation. Nothing to be concerned with. It's right. Very common, but cracks kill people. Cracks kill deals, I'm going to say. I'm talking drywall cracks. People freak out over drywall cracks. I did an episode on the podcast all about that and what is scary and what's not scary. Stress cracks can be a sign of a bigger problem. Just a straight crack in drywall, probably just a shitty drywall job.
Right.
Well, we had a little seismic activity and it just shook it loose. You know, most of the time it's really nothing.
Yeah.
Most of the time it's really
I've
nothing.
Seen some pretty severe foundation problems. and it's a hard vendor to find, first of all, to do the work, especially if it's not an expensive problem, but the buyer wants it handled. So I've never really been able to find anybody who will do a small job like that.
Mm-hmm.
And the big jobs are pretty expensive. So
yeah,
so that's a tough one, you know.
It is.
It's a tough one,
and it's a tough one on home inspectors because we don't want to tell you. You got to get a foundation inspection when we know it's just a minor crack, but we have to tell you it's there.
That alone
it can scare some people.
When we bought our house and we pulled the floors up, we're on a slab. You could see the crack all from the front of the house going all the way through to the kitchen. Yeah. Right. And,
that can be alarming.
And I was like, oh, that sucks. And so, you know, whatever, we had our repairs done and everything. And I asked my contractor, I was like, what's the worst that can happen? He's like, oh, the front of your house could fall off. I'm like, okay. I mean, that's during an earthquake, you know, not just going to fall off. So
most concrete cracks, slabs, if 10 people on a slab foundation pulled up their floors, they're going to see a crack most likely. Just fill it. Fill it out. Fill it, check outside, make sure you get good drainage on the outside areas. That might have been what caused it in the first place.
Right.
No drainage, water sitting. That's typically the same scenario.
Yeah, I didn't panic. We had our repair done, and I'm like, we own the house now, so.
Hasn't fallen down yet?
Yeah, hasn't fallen down now. Yeah.
That's a good one. Yeah. That's a good one.
Yeah.
Okay, everybody. Well, we're 2 days away from Halloween right now?
We are.
Halloween 2022, and we have a horror story for you.
We do.
So I'm going to let Stacy tell us her story.
Oh, but I have so many ghost stories. Come on.
We're going to talk about those too.
This is a horror story.
All right.
The horror story starts with my friend, my trainer, did not use me as an agent. We weren't really that close at the time when she bought her property. But I did know and have a radio show with her boyfriend at the time for quite a long time. So it was kind of, you know, he wanted to use his real estate agent. Fine. Okay. Not everybody's made for me. I'm not going to get every.
Would you know, like to give this person world. A cyber slap over the air?
Just a little. I just.
Which?
Yeah. They're no longer together. But he was like, I insist you use my real estate agent. So she used the agent. I'm not sure how the transaction went down, what it was like, what she's like. She could be a great agent. I don't know. Maybe my trainer didn't digest the information that she received on her inspection report, but there was a Zinsco panel inside of her house. She's been training me now for like 6 months, and like 3 weeks ago, she's like, yeah, the lights, she's first time homeowner. The lights in my basement and in my kitchen have been out for, I don't know, like 3 months now.
What?
And she's never home. She's one of those who's a new homeowner and is never home because she's working constantly.
Wow.
So she's one of my favorite humans on the face of the planet. And I was like, dude, your lights have to work. Your refrigerator isn't functioning. You have to, let me get an electrician over there. I'm like, did you get an inspection report? Yeah, I did. But the inspection report is fine. The agent said that everything was fine. I said, so you didn't ask for anything? No credits, nothing?
So the agent inspected the house, or the inspector did?
The inspector inspected the house. The agent said everything is fine. They didn't ask for any credits, didn't do a request for repair that she remembers. Now she's a new homeowner, and most first-time buyers forget what happened during the transaction. It just happens that way.
Sure.
It's normal. Mm-hmm. So who knows what transpired during that time? I could be totally wrong about it. But what is the truth is that when I got to the house with my electrician, he went downstairs. I'm upstairs with her. He went downstairs into this basement and he screams up the stairs and he goes, Stacy, can you guess what kind of panel is down here? I'm like, it's a Zinsco panel, right? I've never had a problem with one.
Right.
You know, you've inspected so many, not to say that they don't have problems, but I've never had an issue. Right. So every time, mm-hmm. you know, every time you've done an inspection for me and the buyer panics, I say, we should replace it eventually because it does have a recall and there are problems with it.
And known to be problematic.
Yeah. Yep. But, you know, I have never seen one to date have issues because I have never seen one to date have issues, right? So It's just my experience. It doesn't mean it's the truth for everyone.
Right, right.
So I go downstairs and he goes, come down, you need to see something. He pulled out three breakers that were completely melted.
Wow.
Completely melted. And I was like, oh my God. I don't know what could have happened, but the first thing that comes to my mind is your place could have burned down.
Fire. Yep.
You know? And so he replaced them right away. We looked at all the other ones and I was like, dude, you have to replace this panel.
Just replace it.
Yeah.
Get rid of it.
We'll do the breakers now and everything will be functioning, but you have to eventually replace this panel. You should do it soon. So, I want to bust on that other agent and be like, why?
By all means, it's bust like away.
At the time she bought the property, I don't know what the cost would be now, but at that time it would be $2,100 to replace that panel.
Wow.
So, you know, with labor and parts and everything that, because I've just recently gotten an estimate on replacing another one in a different property. So,
sure.
So I was like, dude, it's $2,100. You couldn't have gotten her that $2,100 in credit or given it to her from your paycheck, which you know me and I probably would have done. So like, cause I've done it before, you know, but, and made sure that it got done.
Right. That's scary that she did just let that go for like 3 months with no lights.
Yeah.
Don't ever do that, homeowners. That's scary.
She was like, I was flipping on and off the breakers and the breaker was flipped off. But she had, you know,
and it was still off,
right?
On and off, and it was still staying off,
right?
When you thought it was on,
which means there's a problem.
Which means that's what those breakers are known to do,
right?
A lot of the old panels that I mentioned, when they have problems, it typically arises out of the breakers themselves. Like they'll be on, but they're actually off, and they'll be off and actually on.
Mm.
So they're dangerous.
Yeah.
So if you're thinking a circuit's off and you go to touch something, you're doing a repair.
Yeah.
You know, it's not good.
The remedy to this would have been if she would have used me as a real estate agent. I'm just kidding. I would have done things differently. No.
Did you see the inspection report?
I didn't see it. She doesn't have it.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, that doesn't help.
Yeah. I mean, who knows what happened? That agent probably could have, you know, she could have been the greatest agent on the face of the planet. I don't know who she is.
Okay, so let me clear this up real quick because you said something to me that happens a lot. A lot. If Joe inspects your house and Susie's your realtor, get your advice about the house from Joe because he's the one that inspected it. So if he tells you everything looks good, then you should, if he's qualified, you should be able to take his word for that. But if you're getting the advice from the person who's not qualified to tell you that,
right?
What are you doing? Why'd you hire the guy to inspect? Why'd you hire Joe in the first place if you're getting advice from the person who didn't inspect it? Don't mix that up. Listen to your inspector. Look at his report and read it and make sure you understand what it says. If you don't, call him and have him clarify because that's the verbiage that counts.
And I mean, I don't know when I first learned about the panels that you shouldn't have. Right. And the names of them,
mm-hmm.
not every new agent, not even any old agent would, maybe they don't know. Maybe they've never heard of the brand. I've heard of the brand so many times because I've dealt with so many condos and usually they're in condos.
It's a learning curve.
So like, you know, I would understand if maybe she was a newer agent and she didn't know.
Right.
But you know, the inspector should also be very clear with the agent. Hey, you need to get this. You're very clear with me. Hey, you need to do this. You need to take a look at this. And you'll follow up with me and call and say, hey, did you address X, Y, and Z?
Yeah.
And I'll either say yes or no.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it happens a lot. So it is, talk to your inspector. Your realtor is there to help you, but some realtors, they're not listening. And they're going to just tell you, oh, it's good. We could deal with it later. And I've seen those things blow up in their faces. So it's cool that you want to listen to your realtor, but get your advice on the inspection report from the person who inspected the house. That's all I'm saying.
Right. Because we don't know everything.
You don't.
We like to think we do sometimes.
Yes,
I like to think correct. I know everything.
So do I.
All right, I'm just going to.
But I don't. I know I don't.
I know I don't know everything. And we make mistakes and we overlook things and it just happens because we're human. Some agents are better than others, you know, in general, right? Some of us are more detail oriented than others, but sometimes there's so much information that we miss stuff. So when it comes to any questions you have about your report, if I can't answer it, I'm going to say, hey, call the inspector. Yep. Call him and go over it. He will impress upon you how important it is to handle whatever that issue was.
Right. Okay, Stacy Franklin from Pinnacle Estate Properties. You've been a great guest. I loved how you really broke down everything we just talked about. I think a lot of our listeners here are really going to get a lot from that. I get a lot from that. I think we taught each other a few things today.
We did, as we do every time we see each other.
Right. So I expect to hear from you about more pre-listing inspections. You need to push this on your customers. It's very helpful. It's going to make your transaction go a lot smoother.
You're absolutely correct. So if your client is willing to do it, which you've done a couple for me.
Yeah.
But if your client is willing to do it, get it out of the way.
Just get the facts.
You know,
it's about getting because the facts.
Because $100 issue
right.
that can be repaired before you open escrow with a buyer and have another inspector come through can really make that difference between whether the buyer stays or leaves escrow.
That's right.
So some of the smallest things can blow an escrow up.
Yes.
And so
let me tell you one of those small things.
Tell me.
Avoiding a sewer camera inspection.
Right.
Okay. We didn't go over that, but we're going to do it right now.
Okay.
It slipped my mind. The importance of a sewer camera inspection. The sewer camera inspection, for those of you who don't know what that means, is a high definition camera gets put into the sewer line between the building and the city connection, which is typically in the street or in an alley behind the house, depending on what neighborhood it's in. Nobody can guess the condition of that pipe unless you're Superman and have X-ray vision, which I haven't met one of those guys yet.
No.
So the only way to know how to the condition of that pipe, and that's what the purpose of the inspection is, to know the condition of the pipe, not the age of the pipe. Once again, it's the condition. That's the important part.
Right.
Is it open? Is the pipe open? Is it flowing? Is it pitched properly? Is it holding water? Does it have roots in it? Is it broken? That's what you want to know, because that is probably the single most expensive thing on a property if it goes bad.
Right.
And too many times, I'm sure you've probably heard this, somebody walked away from a house because the sewer was trashed and it would have been $30,000 to fix it.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, not all sewer lines are created equal.
No.
And a lot of people don't get that. Some homes are very basic and they just be a straight line from the front of the house out to the street. It's going to mostly consist of clay if it's original. And there's nothing wrong with clay pipe, but it can have problems. It can have cracks in it. The roots come through the joints. But the minimum repair, like a spot repair, let's say there's a 12-inch section of pipe that needs to be cut out and replaced. That's going to be at least $2,000.
Right.
So.
And then what? And then you have a property that's sitting in the back of a flag lot where you have a paved driveway from the front of the street all the way back. And if you don't know what a flag lot is a house that's situated behind another house. So let's say that house has a 6,000 square foot lot. You're driving however many square feet back from the front of the street to get to that house. And then you have your toilets in the back of the house and upstairs and whatever. And then you have your sewer line that comes all the way out to the street underneath pavement.
Yep.
And if you have to replace that entire line, that's a whole job. Yeah, that is not just the line. That is demo and replace
the driveway. Yep.
So
yeah.
It's important to
it's a super important inspection, and that's why I started doing them 5 years ago. And if I do 25 houses a month, I'm doing at least 20 sewers. 20 of those houses I'll have done the sewer line on too.
Good times.
And it's just really important. So I didn't want to end the show this episode without saying that. So another good point for sellers. If you don't have a recent inspection of your line, get one done. It's a few hundred dollars. Know the facts. Maybe it just needs to be cleaned. Most people don't ever maintain their sewer lines.
Right.
Sometimes it just needs to be cleaned.
I always present when I go in to talk to a seller, you know, all of the inspection options that they can have before they list their property. Sewer line, termite. Sometimes you get hit with termite.
Sure.
Sometimes you don't. But I mean, termite can be expensive. And the pre-listing, you know, if you're on a raised foundation, you're never under your house. You don't know if your toilet's leaking. Right. If you have a fastener that's not on properly, if there's a gas leak under the house, right? The gas line is deteriorating. We turned the gas off at this listing that I'm working on, turned it off to do all of our installations and turned it back on. And my plumber was like, I hear hissing. That's turned it off because he heard hissing.
That's not good.
And the whole backyard was filled with gas. We just replaced the line yesterday.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. The three main inspections for any house should be general home inspection, which is covers most systems, and then termite and sewer line. Now, keep in mind, a lot of sellers don't realize that their house doesn't have an adequate cleanout to even access the sewer line. Mm-hmm. And that is the biggest
pain in the ass.
Pain in the ass. that's what I was thinking.
Yeah,
pain in the ass. Because
let's just be straight with them, John.
Yeah, because you know, a lot of times on sewer lines, people think, oh, well, I ordered a sewer line inspection, so that means it's going to happen.
Yeah.
No, it doesn't. It means you ordered it, and the person showing up most likely. So that you can count on happening. But a lot of times I show up and I'm like, you don't have a clean out anywhere that's accessible. Just because you see a little thing sticking out of the wall this big does not mean we can get a camera in there.
Right.
I fight with people over this all the time, and it's so frustrating. I had a termite guy tell my customer after I just left that there's no accessible clean out under the house, around the house. The roof was way too steep to get on to do it from there safely, so I couldn't go down a plumbing vent. I said, ma'am, there's no way for me to get into this line. Termite guy shows up after I left, tells the customer, oh, there's a clean out under the house. My phone blew up. They're insisting. I'm like, can somebody send me a photo of what you're looking at? So they sent me a picture.
So like this big?
The pipe, the clean out opening would have been good. But it went like that. It went down immediately. It went over and up again, over and down again, down here and that way. And they wanted me to enter that.
Oh my God.
It had five turns within 3 feet. And I had to explain to them, it doesn't work like that.
No.
So they wouldn't take my information was useless to them because a termite guy who doesn't do sewers told them there was a clean out. That shit happens all the time.
Yeah.
And that is my worst.
I think
worst.
I've done it to you.
That is the worst. So just because you see a clean out, let the person who's doing the inspections tell you if it's accessible or not. I'm not there to sell you a clean out. I don't do repairs. I'm just letting you know I can't get in your line. So.
Yeah.
But yeah, that really happened. I was like, what the fuck? Like, tell the termite guy to focus on termites.
Right.
Please. It wasn't accessible. So anyway, that was a great story.
Yeah.
The Halloween story was awesome. that was definitely a horror story.
Definitely.
I feel bad. And she's lucky it didn't catch fire.
Kids sleep until 11 and she's at work at 6 a.m. You know, like such a dangerous situation to be in.
All right. Well, I want to thank you for being a guest. You've been a great guest. And
thank you for having me.
How can any listeners that are looking for a realtor with your expertise find you?
Well, the easiest way to contact me would be on my Instagram. I check my messages all day long. I'm at StacyFranklin_realestate on Instagram.
Okay.
And you can also check my website out at StacyFranklinRealEstate.com.
All right. Awesome. Thank you so much and have a happy Halloween.
Hey, I will. I'll be doing witchy things.
Yeah, you know what? I wasn't prepared enough. I should have had a pumpkin head right here.
You should have.
Totally wasn't thinking.
I think I have Halloween stuff in the car.
All right. Thank you, Stacy. We'll talk soon.